Hello, and welcome to my podcast. My name is Peter Doherty. I'm a Catholic priest and a psychologist who integrates both psychology and scripture studies to understand the Gospels and seek out new pastoral teachings for Christians in these modern times. Today's podcast is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 19 to 31. This Gospel focuses on Jesus teaching his disciples about peace. We also hear about Thomas and his doubts about the resurrection. In this Gospel of John, we have another appearance of Jesus. Although the doors are locked, Jesus has no trouble appearing to his disciples. The first thing that Jesus says is, "Peace be with you." And he will soon say it again. Jesus makes it clear that peace is an important part of his Gospel. He says it twice here and in several other scriptural passages. Unfortunately, we Christians have not done a very good job of keeping the peace. Wars and armed conflicts have almost continuously occurred throughout history. The command has not been taken seriously. Peace is not an absence of conflict. People are different and will have different views. Conflict is inevitable. Although Jesus was frequently in conflict with the Pharisees, I still see Jesus as a man of peace. Peace involves a mutual desire to create peace, in a spirit of mutual respect. Because we are not perfect beings, there will be times when we will need to be skilled in forgiving. Jesus spoke about forgiveness many times, and I draw your attention to Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35, when Jesus is asked, "How often should we forgive?" The answer is a powerful 7 times 70. Jesus is telling us to be a forgiving people. As important as forgiveness is for peace to flourish, we have not done a very good job with forgiving. Several years ago, my colleague, Patty Ann Kay, and I wrote the book, Forgiveness, Breaking Free and Moving On. Let me share a few of the highlights. Next fall, I'm submitting a series of podcasts on forgiveness, and I'm hoping that Patty Ann will join me in preparing the series on forgiveness. In our research, we learned that there are many misunderstandings about forgiveness, and that reconciliation doesn't always follow forgiveness. I have in the past discouraged someone in a toxic relationship to go back to the relationship. Yes, forgive them, but it's another question to bring about reconciliation. Sometimes forgiveness takes time because the wound is deep. We must remember that forgiveness is a process. It can be complicated because when we are hurt, there are often different aspects of that hurt that need forgiveness. Many people don't realize that forgiveness is something you do for yourself. Holding a grudge or nursing a wound takes so much energy that could otherwise be used for enjoying life, pursuing interests, or nurturing spiritual growth. There are also dysfunctional beliefs that get in the way for some people. Forgiveness implies a weakness. Actually, the exact opposite is true. The person who forgives still has all their hurts and disappointments, but they are strong enough to move forward in their life. In some cases, people only forgive if the other person understands what they did, shows remorse, and vows never to do it again. The problem with that belief is that you are dependent on someone else to act before you yourself are healed. I'm not sure it's a good idea to depend on the person who hurt you to help you heal. In the worst case scenario, some people don't want to forgive. They may be enjoying the perks of being a victim. Victims should never be pushed to forgive, but be wary of individuals who don't want to see forgiveness, or at least a resolution to their pain. I don't claim this to be an exhaustive list, but I think you get the idea. I invite you to join the podcast or read the book to learn more on the call to forgiveness. We can also talk about peace within our own being, peace with ourselves or within ourselves. We may find ourselves having to forgive ourselves for past mistakes or behavior. So often I see people able to forgive others, but are not able to forgive themselves. I'm beginning to suspect that sometimes pride gets in the way. The second issue I want to draw your attention to is a story often referred to as Doubting Thomas. I have to admit, I think this perception of him as Doubting Thomas is unfair. Yes, Thomas doubted. Most of the other disciples also doubted. What is so amazing here is that Thomas is very upfront about his doubts, and he clearly states what he needs before he can believe in the resurrection. Despite his doubts, he is in the room when Jesus meets them again. When Jesus reappears, he speaks directly to Thomas. Thomas provides us with a model of what having an adult faith is all about. There will be doubts. That's not the problem. It is what we do, or better yet, what we don't do with our doubts. I encourage Christians to be proactive. So many people have doubts, but don't do anything about it. Despite his doubts, Thomas is in the room with the other disciples. He is making himself available to the possibility. Thomas knows what he needs and communicates his needs to those who ask. Thomas provides us with a clear map on how to be an adult Christian. I find so many people who claim to have a problem with the church or with God, but do nothing about it. For them, it is easier to simply leave or remain angry rather than do anything about it. I often ask people, what does God have to do to get your attention? My question is actually seriously intended to get people reflecting on where they expect to see God and where they don't expect to see Him. My question is also designed to get people reflecting on how realistic they are in their search for God. I want to draw their attention to their expectations of God. This is important, as if we are not expecting to see God, we're not likely to recognize Him when He's right next to us. A noticeable example of this are the Pharisees. They had a clear expectations of how the Messiah would behave. When Jesus did not fit into this model, they were unable to recognize them. I wonder if the gospel today calls us to a deeper faith by challenging us to confront our own periods of unbelief. Thank you for listening. I invite you to join me next week when I examine the Gospel of John, who describes important appearances of Jesus, who proves that he is risen and not a ghost, by joining the two unnamed disciples in a meal. This is the first time that you've heard of my podcast and you are interested in hearing more. I urge you to listen to my podcast listed on the website. Every Sunday, I release a new podcast focusing on the gospel for the following week. I invite you to listen to all the podcasts, and I hope the reflections are useful to you. The link is https://a_psychologist_looks_at_scripture.buzzsprout.com. If you have any questions or concerns, I can be reached by email at peter.doherty, O-M-I, at gmail.com. That's peter.doherty, O-M-I, at gmail.com. God bless and take care.